We are doing Parashat HaZinu, the parasha which is really the song of the Torah, Hashira Hazot, this song, and this song will encompass all of world history, all of Jewish history, all of the Jewish people's history, and every individual's history. But before we continue, this song, a song that has so much meaning, was dedicated by Mordechai in honor of the special person who is the song in his life. And we wish them both continued success and to be able to continue with all the mitzvot that they perform. So it was decided that we'll learn the parsha with the tunes. So we'll begin with a story. We just said that the parsha encompasses the life of every Jew. This is the song that God tells Moshe, teach the Jewish people. Tell them. Lamedat b'nei Yisrael sima b'fihim. Make sure they've learned it. Make sure they know it. Leman ti'eli, so that this will be testimony for me when the future generations come that I warned them it would be so. What's so important about this song? Moshe is about to sign off the Torah. When Moshe signs off in Vezos HaBracha, he leaves us with blessings. But just before he goes over to his last blessings for each tribe and the Jewish people as a whole, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us the preparation for the future times when we're going to find ourselves exiled, the Jewish people will find themselves being persecuted by the nations. They're going to find themselves being attacked by the nations, attacked both physically and spiritually, with the nations claiming you are no longer the chosen people. If God really loved you, then why don't you have the land of Israel? If God really loved you, why are you so downtrodden among the nations? For over a millennium, for almost two millennium now, all the nations have been telling us that. We were born to a generation that merits to live in the land of Israel, to have an army of the people of Israel. It's a new concept. It hasn't been around in two millennium. It's a very old concept, but it's a renewal, a rejuvenation, renaissance. So Moshe Rabbeinu is leaving the Jewish people with a song that every child should know, a song that every Jew must know, a song that will give us the knowledge that God foresaw this happening, and God said, you should know it's going to happen, and I love you even though it's happening. It's one of the messages that parents have to remember to tell their children. Even when I yell at you, or even when I'm upset at you, I love you. And Hashem gave us that message in the song of HaZinu. It's interesting that the last prophet, Malachi, the last of the prophets of Tanakh, is also focused on that message. God says, I love you. Even though things are going to be tough, even though the nations are going to challenge you for a long time now, you should know, I love you. That's the conclusion of all prophecy. I will send you, Elio, lifnei bo yom Hashem gadol v'anora v'eshiv levavot al banim. So Moshe ends off with this message. Malachi ends off with this message. And just before the period of prophecy is about to end, as the Jews are in exile under Persian rule, as the Jews, after being exiled by the Babylonians, are now overtaken by the Persians, and there is again a thought, maybe God has forgotten us, the 70 years of the prophet Jeremiah seem to have passed. Again, God gives us a glimmer of miracles. God says to us, I'm still with you. We have the story of Purim. And just before the second temple is destroyed, at the period where we're going to see a huge shift in the Torah study of the Jewish people, a shift from the oral law the way it was and the way it was going to be through the exile, God again gives us a glimmer, the last message before we're going out to Galut, the story of Hanukkah. God always gives us the shot in the arm. That's why Hanukkah, the lights in the darkness, those little lights, but they keep growing, that hope, if there's still a future. That's the Song of Ha'azinu. So, the Song of Ha'azinu is really the rebuttal to the claims of other religions that God has forsaken us. Anyone who reads Ha'azinu sees, God says, you should know, I will exile you, I will banish you, I will punish you, you will be persecuted, and you're still my children. That's what the song says. We're going to read it. And that's the idea that God says in last week's parsha and this week's parsha. Everyone has to know this song. I saw children of a few generations ago, people who today are in their 60s. It seems that back then, this was the song that kids did know. We had a guy, an MTJ, who was retarded. I mean, literally retarded. He'd walk around with a shopping cart and a panhandle around the subways. Literally a retarded fellow. But he knew this by heart. Every night before he went to sleep, he'd sing himself to sleep with Ha'azinu Hashamayim V'adabeira. That's where they were. Today we don't teach our kids this. So, let's begin with Ha'azinu. It is written as a shira, as a song, with two columns. Try to take a look at the Torah when they do Hagba. This is the form of the Song of Ha'azinu. You have one column with three or four words, and then the left column with three or four words. And you keep skipping across. I don't know if in your Chumashim they printed it that way, but that's the way Ha'azinu is traditionally written. Moshe Rabbeinu begins by calling on the witnesses to the song. Because Moshe is about to tell the Jewish people about how God will take them to task, because they didn't keep their end of the deal. So who are the witnesses to the deal? The witnesses are those who were present and will continue being present. When God gave us the Torah, Hashem, it says, Min hashamayim ishmiacha et kolo. God made His voice heard from the heavens. Where were we standing? Down on earth. So Moshe says, now I'm going to call these two as witnesses. Hazinu hashamayim v'adabeira v'tishma ha'aretz imreifi. Listen the heavens as I speak, and let the words hear, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Yarov kamatal likhi tizal katal imrati. Let my lesson come down like rain. Let my words drip like dew. Like the winds across the grass, and like the clouds across the different fields of revivim is really a different form of rain, not clouds, and like the downpours as they go down on the grasses that grow. Esev and Desha are two forms of grass. What's Moshe Rabbeinu talking about? Moshe says, I'm going to tell you something. Let it be like rain. When rain comes down, it's a bother. You don't see the blessings of the rain. But in due time, you see the fruits of the rain. I'm going to talk to you now, and you don't know what I'm talking about. You're about to enter the land of Israel. Everything's about to flourish. Everything's going to be beautiful. So I'm telling you, let it be like rain. Let it sit there. It'll grow. Yarov kamatal likhi, let my lesson come down like rain. Tizal katal imrati, let what I say land upon you like dew. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I pray that what I say bears fruit within your hearts. Sometimes we speak and we don't know what the other side is hearing. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I pray that it will bear fruit. The Torah is described, kisirim alei deshe, like the rain as it goes across the... As the winds of rain go across the grass, the winds beat across the grass. They seem to be pushing the grass down. And yet, we have on tradition that grass needs a certain amount of wind in order to grow. If it grows in a climate where there's no wind, it doesn't grow as well. That's the way Torah works. When we approach Torah, sometimes the Torah seems to be pushing us. It's not so convenient. Wait a second, I want to live my life this way. Torah's telling me to do things that way. I used to learn in college and I did well on 4 hours of sleep. I come to yeshiva, I need 7 hours of sleep. I used to learn and, things were easy. You took a test, you passed. Here in Machon Meir, there is no test. Why is there no test? Because you never failed so long as you try, and you never passed because you still got more to learn. I mean, I used to, the first years I was here, I begged Rav Bigon for a test. I said, guys need a gauge. Are they succeeding or not? How much do they know, don't they know? And he kept telling me, there is no test. How can you test a guy? It's all about personal growth. You can't tell a guy, yeah, well, now you know the laws of kashrut. Okay, now you've got kashrut 101. Now move forward, 102. This isn't college. There's limitless learning. And at the same time, a person's success could be on so many fronts that you can't test in a classroom. Machon Meir, learning Torah is about growth. Growth can't be measured just based upon knowledge. In college, you're learning knowledge. In Torah, you're learning how to be a human being. It's about all of life. It's not just about knowledge. So the Torah sometimes pushes us down like the wind that pushes against the grass. But it's for our own growth. Kisirim alei deshe, like the wind against the grass. Bechirvivim alei yesev, and like the rain that pours down against the grass growing. Yeah, when the rain comes down, it seems to be hitting the grass down. But we all know that's to make it grow. There was a widow here in the neighborhood who all her children became big rabbis. So I once asked her, what's the trick? She said, every kid that finished high school, I said to him, straight to the army, no yeshiva for you. And they said, but Ma, I want to learn a little bit. And she said, no, you'll learn, wait, first go do army, then we'll see if you're serious. She said, I made them fight. I was dying that they should fight me. When I didn't make it a given, you want to learn Torah, sure, go learn Torah. No, I put the desire within them. They grew up in a house where it was clear that what's valuable in life is Torah. And at the same time, I made it tough on them. Every year they'd learn, I'd say, maybe this year you should go out to college. Maybe this year you should go to the army. I'd pray at night they should fight me. But by day, I put up a fight. Let them fight for it. Let them value it. Sometimes when you beat down, that's when you make something grow up. Ki shem Adonai yekra havugo de leloheinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, when I call out Hashem's name, you give greatness to Hashem. Ki shem Hashem yekra. When I say God's name, havugo de lelokeinu, give greatness to Hashem's name. From here we derive that we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Leolam Ve'ed, that we say we give blessing when God's name is mentioned. On Yom Kippur, we recount the procession that took place in the temple, and we know every time they said God's name, they'd say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Leolam Ve'ed, right? That's when we bow. What are we bowing? We're reenacting what happened in the temple. In the temple, when the nation would hear the Kohen Gadol say God's name in purity, so they'd hear the holy name, they'd all bow down, everyone would bow down on the floor, and say, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Leolam Ve'ed. So we too, when we repeat how this was done, part of the Musaf prayer is, we repeat what was done in the temple on Yom Kippur, that's called the Seder Avodah, the recounting of the procession of the service on Yom Kippur. So when we repeat that, we also bow down the way they would bow down, and we say, Baruch Shem, etc. This concept that when we hear God's name, we give praise, that's what Moshe is saying over here. Moshe is saying, I'm going to say God's name. And I'm also going to discuss that God is going to be tough with you, the Jewish people. And He's going to punish you. And He's going to hold you accountable. So I want you to know, at the end of the day, you're responsible when you hear God's name. Havugod elelokeinu, give greatness to Hashem, because Hatzur tamim paolo ki chol derachav mishpat. He is the rock, the tough one, whose actions are complete. All His ways are just. We're going to discuss. He punished the Jews. He punished those that persecuted the Jews. We're going to discuss that and recognize, says Moshe, all His ways are just. All His ways are just. And here we see an important rule when it comes to learning emunah. Sometimes parents want to learn hashkafa with their kids or with the chavruta, and they walk into the conversation and present a question. How could God have created the world, but? How could God be fair, but? You'll find in Tanakh, and you'll find in the works of the greats, that whenever they discussed emunah, they began with the answer, then they moved forward to the question. And that's a very important concept. You don't begin with a question. Rav Tzvi Yehuda used to say, when we say, En kelokeinu, and then mi kelokeinu. After you understand the concept, En kelokeinu, you could begin the question, mi kelokeinu. Who's like Hashem? They have to begin by knowing what the answer is. And that's a rule whenever you learn emunah. The first problem is that people walk out in the middle. So you never know. A guy could walk out with the question and never hear the answer. So begin with the answer. You know, at least he got that. But it also helps a person focus. It helps a person understand the question in light of the answer. It gives a person guidance. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem is Hatzur Tamim Paolo, the rock whose actions are complete. When we do things, there's nothing that we do that's complete. We take other things and we build something, right? You take Lego, you build it. You take bricks, you build a home. Hashem Tamim Paolo, His actions are complete. He creates from scratch. Hashem is Hatzur, Chazal said, Al Tikri Hatzur Ela Hatzayal. Hashem is the most amazing artist. Look around, look at nature, look at the colors. Every time we eat something simple, we make a bracha, Borei Nefashot Rabot. What do we say? Hashem, You created so many organisms, Bechesronan, and the basic things that they're lacking, food, water, air, Al Kol Ma Shebara Lachiyot Behem Nefesh Kochai. On top of that, You created so many other things to sustain humanity, to give people life. You made, we say in benching every day, Azan et ha'olam kulo, God feeds the world, betuvo, with His good, bechein. What's chein? God could have made us all eat sand. God could have made the world black and white. God didn't do that. You have an apple. The apple has a certain shape, a certain fragrance, a certain taste, a certain texture, a certain peel, a certain, on the inside, the texture and the flavor and the smell. Chein. God made the world with chen. Look at how many different color apples Hashem made for us. Look around. See the beauty in the world. Hatzur. Hashem is the rock. Hashem is Hatzayar, the most amazing painter. Every painting has a painting within a painting, right? The more you look, the more you know. You see a human being on the outside. You see him on the inside. You look at the cells. There's infinite paintings within paintings. Hashem is Hatzur. Hashem is Hatzayar. Hashem is the painter. Tamim Paolo. His actions are complete. His actions are complete. No one looks and says, I wish I had a third eye. No one looks and says, I wish I had a third hand. You know, I wish I had a third leg. If only I could walk on my head. If only my face were facing the other way. Oh, I was waiting for someone to ask that. Tamim palo. I thought you'd ask, what about the people who were born crippled? His actions are complete. But that deserves a separate class. Ki chol derachav mishpat. In a nutshell, okay, but no one's asking, so it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Ki chol derachav mishpat. God's ways are just. Hashem judges each person to see what he deserves and what he needs. Ke lemunah. Hashem has faith. Hashem has faith in the world. Ve'en avel. His goal is not for us to do evil things. God gives us life and God gives us another chance every morning. Even though yesterday we didn't live up to our potential. Today's a new day. Kele munah. We say every morning, Rabba emunatecha. How great is Hashem's faith in us that He gives us another chance today. Hashem is kele munah, God of faith. He gives faith in us. Ve'en avel. And He didn't create us to be evil, but rather to be righteous. Tzadik v'yashar hu, for Hashem is just and righteous, and that's the way He treats all of us. I think it was Rav Chaim Shmulevitz who said the famous mashal, we mentioned it last week, I don't know if everyone heard it, that there was a bandit, there was a thief, the king put out a bounty, they found him, they caught him, they led him to the gallows. The king said, is there anyone here that could say anything good about this person? And a child walks up and says, I can. So they ask him, what do you have to say? The child says, he deserves to be hung, I understand, but he's my father. Do I deserve to be an orphan? Hatzur Tamim Paolo. Hashem is the only one whose actions are complete. There are no innocent bystanders. Any minuscule amount of pain or happiness that a person feels, that was calculated. That was part of the calculation. It didn't happen for naught. No one is an innocent bystander. No one gets hurt for nothing. That's Hatzur. Hashem is the rock. Tamim Paolo. His actions are complete. And based on that, we can understand why it says, Kele munah ve'en avel. God is trustworthy. He doesn't do evil. That's the praise of Hashem. You know, you come to praise a king, you say, my glorious king, you're so wonderful, you're not a thief. My glorious king, you're so wonderful, you know, you're not evil. What are we saying? That's what we're saying. We're saying there are no innocent bystanders. There's no one who gets hurt that shouldn't have gotten hurt. Tzadik v'yashalhu, because Hashem's ways are just and straight. Shichet lo lo banav mumam dorikesh uftaltol. You think you're hurting him? No, it's your own lacking. Sometimes we think we're hurting towards heaven. Not true. Who's getting hurt? We're hurting ourselves. This is a concept in all of Torah. We have a concept we're supposed to honor mitzvot. So people think, you know, I buy a beautiful esrog, I put it in a beautiful case. What honor I'm showing the mitzvah? Oh, the mitzvah's honored by me. Yeah, I'm doing my end of the deal. But Chazal worded it, they said, Shelo yiyu mitzvot bezuyot alecha. The mitzvah shouldn't be disgraced in your eyes. The mitzvah is a jewel. The mitzvah is precious. You can't take that away from the mitzvah. The question is, what's our attitude to the mitzvah? When we honor a mitzvah, we're reflecting our attitude. When we give honor to God, we're reflecting our attitude. We don't affect Him. Shichet lo, you think you're going to hurt Him? Lo, that's not so. Banav mumam, His sons, He says, it's your own lacking. Dorikesh uftaltol, a nation that's stubborn, a nation that's twisted. Who do you think you're hurting? Chazal tell us, Hashem said, who do you think you're hurting? Banav mumam, His sons, they're covered with their own blemishes. Even a generation that's covered with blemishes and thinks they could hurt towards heaven, Hashem calls them banav, His children. His children. What? Even a generation that's covered with mumim, with blemishes, they are still called banav. The pasuk says, shichet lo. You thought to hurt him? Lo, that's not so. Banav mumam. His sons, it's their own blemishes. They're not hurting him. But you see that the pasuk says, even a generation that thinks that they could hurt towards heaven, they're still called banav. Hashem refers to them as His children. That's the pasuk also says, banim mashchitim. Sons who are destructive. But they're still sons. Pasuk Vav. Ha ladonai tigmelu zot am naval velo chacham. Halohu avicha kanecha hu asecha vaechonineka. The pasuk says in wonderment, you think you're hurting Him? Halashem tigmelu zot? Are you doing this unto Hashem? Am naval velo chacham. A nation that accepted the Torah and they're not living up to the Torah. What's causing them to be naval, to be downtrodden by the nation? Am naval, a nation that withers because they are lo chacham, because they're not focused on the Torah. When the nation leaves their conscience, when the nation leaves the Torah, then they're am naval. It goes hand in hand. What was our job when the Torah was given? Hashem said, Na'aseh Adam b'tzalmenu kidmutenu. I want to make man like God. The world went down. Hashem said, okay, the world is not living up to their job. I will have my representatives down below who will work on lifting up the world. They will be a role model and they will be my representatives to bring the world up. God gave us this noble task. God gave us the beautiful jewel of the Torah. What did we do with it? We were kfuyei tova. We did just like Adam. We didn't appreciate the good we were given. We went the exact opposite. We took advantage of it and didn't live up to our end of the deal. Hashem says, Am naval. You're a disgraceful nation. Velo chacham. You're not even smart when it comes to simply gauging what will you gain out of all this. What chance do you stand against the nations of the world? The chance you stand is if I'm with you. You're not even thinking politically correct. You're not even thinking militarily correct if you're going to start going down this path. Halohu avicha kanecha. Hashem is your father. He's the one that created you into a nation. You're not like any other nation. Look around at the nations. Nations formed on their territories. They developed. You're not like that. Halohu avicha kanecha. Hashem is your father who created you into a nation. He formed you. You're a nation who was living as slaves among the Egyptians. And suddenly Hashem said, now, you are my children. I'm taking you out of Egypt. It wasn't so easy to discern between Jew and Egyptian. Hashem said, I'll discern. I'll show you. And Hashem slowly started giving 10 plagues in which Hashem clearly pointed out, this is Egyptian, this is Jew. This is Egyptian, this is Jew. Right? Beginning with the plague of Dam. The Egyptians have blood, the Jews don't have blood. The Egyptians are plagued by crocodiles or frogs or whatever that Tzfardea was, and the Jews are not. The Egyptians are covered with lice and the Jews are not. We have a whole year in which God is, month after month, giving us this message. You're your own nation. And then Hashem takes us out of Egypt. Halohu avicha kanecha. Hashem says, He's your father. He's the one that created you. Hu asecha. He's the one that made you into a nation. Vaychonenecha. And fixed you up to be prepared to be a nation. He gave you everything you needed. So, we continue. We're at Sheni. Zecho yemot olam binu shenot dov adol. Remember what happened in the history of the world. What did God do with previous nations that were sinful? Ask your father, he'll tell you. Ask your elders, they'll tell you. When God gave the nations their sections on planet Earth, when He separated humanity, Yatzev gimvulot amim lemispar b'nei Yisrael. He set up the nations according to the number of the Jewish people. How many nations are there?
Seven.
How many Jews went down to Egypt?
Yatzev
gimvulot amim. Hashem set up the boundaries of the nations lemispar b'nei Yisrael in accordance to your number, because there's a correlation between you and the nations. Yeah.
Right. Does this mean also, why 17 nations are there, 17 Jews are there, and down to Egypt, that Egypt represents the world?
Yeah.
And Jews will go into all directions of the world and they will come back?
In a sense, Egypt represented all the exiles of the world. Yeah. Chazal say that. That's why it's called Mitzrayim. Mitzar is like Tzara. Mitzrayim, the plural of Tzar. The plural. They are the all-encompassing tsar. They are the all-encompassing enclosure of the Jewish people where we were taken into other territories. Hashem says, what happened with the earlier generations? The earlier generations, when they sinned, Hashem sent a tsunami, wiped out 1/3 of the population. They continued sinning, Hashem sent a flood, wiped out all of the population. They continued sinning, Hashem scattered the nations, spread them out. Learn from history. Ki chelek Adonai amo Yaakov chevel nachlato. Hashem says, my portion, the portion of Hashem, Yaakov, the Jewish people, even when they're Yaakov, even when they're at the bottom, we know the Jewish people have a state of Israel, a state of Yaakov. Hashem says, I had 70 nations to choose from. And I chose you. Learn from that. Okay. Hashem found him in the desert. Hashem found him in an area where everything was desolate. Yisovivenu yevoninehu. Hashem took them around and around. Hashem taught them. Yitzirenu, Hashem watched over them. Ki shoneino, like the pupil of the eye. Hashem says, I took care of you. I brought you to this place. I developed you. And we said, Hashem had said, I chose and developed the Jewish people. Now he's recounting exactly how it happened. כנשר יאיר כינו על גוזליו ירחף, יפרוס כנפיו יקחהו יישאהו על עברתו. Just like the eagle is swift to go back to its nest, to hover over its fowl, Hashem so too spread out his wings and carried the Jewish people on his wings. When the Jewish people were taken out of Mitzrayim, Hashem placed his pillar of clouds behind them. Hashem said, let the missiles of the Egyptians hit me and not you. That's the way the eagle carries its kin. The eagle says, I fly higher than all the other birds. I don't have to worry about any birds swooping down on my birds, but I do have to worry about the man shooting me from below. So he takes his fowl on his wings and says, if they shoot, let them shoot me and not you. Kineshel Yair Kino. Moshe Rabbeinu had davened when the Jewish people fell, right? Hashem had wanted to uplift them, and they sinned with the eagle. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed, and Hashem accepted his prayer. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, let it be the will of Hashem that the promise that Hashem wanted to fulfill with them will ultimately be fulfilled, that they will be up on top and leading the nations. And Hashem will carry them like on eagle's wings, the way we're anticipating the Mashiach will come. Right? Adonai badad yanchenu v'enimo el nechar. Hashem alone guides them. Hashem badad yanchenu. Hashem, the simple understanding is, Hashem alone is the one that takes them. Just like the eagle takes its kin alone, so too Hashem alone takes his children. Hashem says, other nations, there's the rise, there's the fall, and they disappear. Like Mark Twain said, show me one Hittite, right? Show me one Chiti. Show me someone from that day. The Jewish people have their ups, they have their downs, they're still around. Hashem badad yanchenu. Hashem alone watches over them. Ve'enimo el nechal. No one else. No other force is what's taking care of them in the world. Sometimes they think it's the peace treaty with Egypt. Sometimes they think it's a peace treaty with the Assyrians. Sometimes each generation had their thoughts. Maybe this is what's helping me. Hashem says, Ve'enimo el nechal. There's no other force that's keeping you around in this world. What's keeping you around is Hashem badad yanchenu. You guys know the story of West Point, right? No, there was a guy studying in West Point, didn't know much, but knew he was Jewish. So at the end of his career in West Point, he goes to his teacher and he says, you know, I was studying here, we studied different tactics, different strategies, and one thing I don't understand, the most amazing wars I've seen were the wars that Israel fought. I mean, look at this little nation against so many bigger nations. Why didn't we ever study a war that Israel fought? So his teacher says, you know, it's a good question. Let me pass it up. So he passes it up to higher ranks. And he's told that it was a decision by higher ranks. So he goes up to the higher ranks. And they tell him it was a decision by someone up on the top. So he goes up to the top. And he's told that it's the head of West Point. He made that decision, that they don't study any wars of Israel. So he arranges a meeting for the guy who asked the question with the head of West Point. So the guy is shaking in his boots, and he walks into the meeting, and he says, sir, I've been studying here for all the years, and I was wondering, why is it that we don't study any of the wars of that the state of Israel fought? So the guy who headed West Point at that time said to him, young man, I studied those wars. I went war by war, and I sat down and I studied their strategies, and I studied the wars, and I studied how they won. And I came to the conclusion that we're not allowed to teach it to you guys here at West Point. So the kid, who didn't know anything other than the fact that he was Jewish, he said, but why? So he said, young man, I'll tell you. When I studied those wars, I saw no logical reason why Israel won. War after war, and if any of my students fought a war like that, they'd lose. So I can't teach you to fight a war in a way that I can't see any logical reason that you'd win. I studied those wars. They won. I don't know why. So I can't teach you to fight a war like that. The guy said, thank you, sir. Packed his bags, flew out to Har Samech, and is living in Israel today.
So 4 years of service he did.
Yarkiveu al mamotei aretz vayochal tenuvot tzadai. Hashem carries them. So we say, Hashem badad yanchenu. Hashem alone guides them. Yarkiveu al mamotei aretz. Hashem placed them on the heights of the land. Vayochal tenuvot tzadai. And they, Hashem gave them the food of their enemies. They captured all the loots. I want to fly through the psukim so we get the general picture, because we're running out of time, so we should at least get the general picture, even if we have to forego some rishonim on the psukim. Vayenikeu dvash misela v'shemen mechal mishtzur, and Hashem gave them honey and oil from the rocks. Chazal say this is a reference to the Jewish people when they were born, that their mothers in Egypt were scared that the Egyptians would kill them. They'd put them outside. Hashem would send an angel. The angel would take them into caves. And in the caves, Hashem sent them two rocks. One rock tasted like honey, and one rock tasted like oil. And the kids grew up on that, and then they came home as adults, and the Egyptians were only interested in killing the babies. So, v'yenikeu dvash, Hashem nursed them honey, misela, from the rock, v'shemen, and oil, mechal mishtzu, from a rock. Chemat bakar v'chalev tzon. The butter of the cattle, the milk of the sheep, im chelev karim ve'elim b'nei vashan v'atudim, with all the fats and the great animals, im chelev kiliot chita, and the fats of the wheat, v'dam enav tishtechamer. Okay, that's a little hard to translate literally. And the blood of the grape means the juice, the wine of the grape, you'll be able to drink as aged wine. Hashem gave you all the goods of the land. You come to a land that's flourishing. You come to the land of Israel. You know, what do we do with the wheat here in Israel? Export it. Everything you eat is imported wheat, because the wheat is so good that it doesn't pay to make bread out of it. Here in Israel, we export all our wheat. The wheat is one of the best wheats in the world, so it doesn't pay to use it for bread. We make much more money by exporting it, and then we buy Russian or American wheat, and we make all our bread is from imported wheat. Why? Because our wheat, Hashem says, I gave you the greatest land. I gave you the greatest fruits. You know, go to America, buy a tomato. You guys, oh, half of you are from America. You know, tomatoes don't have taste. Compare them to Israeli tomatoes. To Israeli anything. Yeah, the fruits, the vegetables, things have flavor here. Vaishman Yeshurun Vaivat. So what happens when Yeshurun, the Jewish people here are called Yeshurun, the straight people, Yeshurun, the people who sing. Yeshurun could be from the term Shira. Isn't that fascinating? Our name is the singers. Yeshurun. Yeshurun could mean the straight ones. When they got fat, Vaivat, they kicked back. That's what usually happens when things are going good. So a person says, God, I'll see you after my vacation, right? Vayishman Yeshurun, when the Jewish people got fat, they had it good materialistically. Vayivat, they kicked back. Shamanta avita kasita, you became fat, you became thick, you became with layers. Vayitosh elo asau, so you let go of the God who made you. Vayinabel tzu Yeshuato, and you disgraced the rock who was your salvation. Things go good, you forget God. Where's Moshe telling us this? We're still out in the desert. We haven't even entered the land. Moshe says, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Things are going to go good, and when they go good, this is how you're going to behave. We reach a point in the prophet Yechezkel that the prophet sees the elders of the Jewish people standing in the temple. They're bowing to the sons, and they're revealing their backs to the Holy of Holies. Vayinabel tzu Yeshuato. They disgrace the Holy One, the rock who was their salvation. Yakniu, they got him angry, bizarim, by serving foreign gods. Betoivot yachisu, they angered him with disgraceful things. There were men running after men, there were people burning their children for idol worship. The Jewish people, Moshe is telling them, you can't imagine how immoral you're going to be. Betoivot yachisu, you're going to anger God with the most disgusting actions you can imagine. Yizbechu la-sheidim lo-eloa. They will bring sacrifices to the sheidim, the demons. They're no power in the world. Elohim lo-yedaum. They're a force that they have no connection to. Chadashim mikarov ba'o lo sarum avotechem. They're newly created. Yesterday they formed, they made this idol. Your forefathers didn't imagine you'd bow. They couldn't have imagined you'd be bowing to these things. Su yeladcha, the rock who bore you, teshi. You let go of him. You turned your back on him. Vatishkach en mecholilecha, and you forgot the potent one who really formed you. He's the one who made you. Who brought you this far? Vayal Adonai vayinatz. So God saw this and he cursed. He got angry. Mikas banav uvnotav, from the anger of his children. Vayomer, so God said, astira fanai mehem. I'll hide my face from them. Erem achritam. We'll see what'll happen to them. The first stage of punishment that the Jewish people get is anochi aster astir. God says, I won't get involved. You don't want to have anything to do with me? Fine, I'll have nothing to do with you. Let's see how you fear. I just won't do anything. You know, the forces of nature, by their sheer nature, the nature of the nations is to devour Yaakov. We're a sheep among wolves. God says, if you turn your back on me, I'm the rock, I'm the one that protects you. You want to have nothing to do with me? Fine. The first level of punishment is that Hashem says, I turn my backs from you. Oh, I'm peeking through the cracks. I'm not going to let you totally be destroyed. But I'm astira panai mehem. I'll hide my face from them. Astira panai mehem. Astira historia. When you hear the word history, history comes from the word astira, to hide. When we read history, when you open a newspaper, you're supposed to see God's hidden face in there. Astira, God says, I'm there. I'm just hidden. I'm not going to let you be totally destroyed. Astira fanai mehem. But I'll hide my face from them. I'll remove my Shekhinah. The Shekhinah took 10 journeys of ascent from the Jewish people. As the Jewish people went in moral decline, the Shekhinah took 10 journeys distancing itself from the Jewish people. Erem acharitam, God says, I'll see and I'll show them. I know what will be their end. Kidol tapuchot heima, for their generation that has turned their backs on me to idol worship. Banim lo imun bam, children that you can't recognize how I brought them up. Banim lo imun bam, children who you can't tell that someone brought them up. Who brought these kids up? They grew up like this. It doesn't look like I brought them up. Banim lo imun bam, children who I can't have faith in them. Hem kinuni v'loel, ke'asuni behav lehem. They angered me in something that's not a god, like the Navi Yirmiyo says to the Jewish people. You know, it's like someone that has a very good pitcher, and he turns to pitchers that have holes and says, let me use those. Those are probably better. You ever see kids do that? Very often people do that. They have a good job, and then they go looking for something better. They kill themselves. Then they wish they would have never left their first job. That's the Jewish people. Now, God says, I'm going to punish them like we learned in Hosea, till they reach the point that they say, wow, I wish I'd go back to my first husband. I was so much better off then than I am now. Why'd I ever leave him? That's what the Navi Hosea says. That's what the Jewish people are going to be like. So Hashem says, Hem kinuni veloel. They angered me in something that's not even a potent force in this world. What'd you leave me for? You had it all. You left me for what? For something that's not even an exchange. Ki asuni be'avlehem, they angered me in their foolishness, in their v'ani akniem beloam. So okay, if you leave me for what's not a god, so I'll bring you down by what's not a nation. The nations that brought us down, the Kastim, they're not even a nation. The Chaldeans. I don't know what the Kastim are in English. The Kastim wasn't even considered a nation. They were an adjunct to the Babylonians. And they came and they led the destruction of the temple. Hashem says, you leave me for something that's not a god? Okay, so I'll destroy you by something that's not a nation. The Goy Navalach Hisem, I'll take a derelict nation to anger them. And that's a reference to the Min. What is a Min? Mitalmide Yeshua Notzri. Notice the duality. The first destruction, the second destruction. First destruction is Kastim, Babel and Kastim. Second destruction is Edom and Yishmael. Right? You guys know. We were exiled and always in pairs. First exiled, Babel and Kastim. Then Paras and Madai. Then we were attacked by the Greeks, Yavon and Mukdon. Greeks and Macedon. And then we were exiled. The last exile, the fourth kingdom, is Edom and Yishmael. So Edom, that's Goy Naval. Hashem says, an anger is kindled in my nostrils and it will burn to the depths. And it will consume the land and its bounty. All the good that you had in the land of Israel will be destroyed. The fire will burn to the foundations of mountains. I will add bad things upon them. I'll finish off my arrows in them. And here we said, here's the hidden blessing. Hashem says, I'll keep shooting arrows, but you'll keep staying, you Jewish people. I'll finish my arrows in them. It doesn't say I'll finish them off with my arrows. It says I'll finish my arrows in them. They'll still be around. My arrows will end, but they're still around. They'll be destroyed by all kinds of demons, all kinds of supernatural forces will destroy them as well. I'll send the animals to bite them, wild animals. I'll send the snakes. Outside there'll be the sword killing and making parents have lose their children. And inside the rooms, people will be shaking in fear. They'll have no mercy. A young man, a young girl, a sucking child, and an old man. God says, I'll scatter them to the corners of the earth. I'll make their memory scarce among mankind. The Ramban, Nachmanides, had a disciple named Avner. This disciple left Judaism, became a priest. And he worked his way up in the church, and he became a very important priest. And one Yom Kippur day, he sends word to the Ramban and tells him to come before him. So the Ramban comes in, and Avner has something, so to speak, he has to talk to the Ramban about. And he's talking to the person who was once his Rebbe, Nachmanides. And at the end of the conversation, he says to the Ramban, you know why I left? Because you once said something so absurd I couldn't stay. So the Ramban said, really, what did I say? Avner said, you told us that every Jew's life is described in Ha'azinu. Every Jew is written in Ha'azinu. And I can't believe that. That's ridiculous. Show me, where's my name in Ha'azinu? I can't believe that every Jew is written in one song. That one song can encompass all of the Jewish people. The Ramban went to a corner and davened. And then he came back and opened up a chumash and showed Avner this pasuk. Amalti afehim. I said, I will scatter them to the corners of the earth. I will banish them. Ashbita me'enosh zichram. I will make their memory scarce among mankind. He said, Avner, take the third letter of afehim. Ashbita me'enosh zichram. It spells out your name. Avner turned white. Avner said, okay, now what? He packed his bags and took a rowboat. He took a rowboat and he set up on the rowboat gallows and stones and the fire, and he went out into the sea and brought upon himself all four death penalties that the Torah, he set it up in a gadget form that he would be killed by all four death penalties that the Torah gives. After he saw this, that was what he said. I have no hope. The only way I can come back is if at least I get the punishment I deserve. And this story is quoted two generations later. It's not a story that's quoted. You read in some storybook. Rabbi Yeshua Ibn Shuib on this week's Parsha, and he was a disciple of the Rashba, was a disciple of the Ramban. So you're talking about one generation later, really. he quotes the story. So you have the story quoted by someone who lived the next generation. So that's the famous story on this pasuk. Hashem says, I said to myself, I will make their memory banished from the history of mankind. But here's the important point. Whenever a missionary comes to you and says, look, here's a verse. If you're intelligent, you don't enter the conversation. But if you have a question, the first thing you have to do is look at the context. Every question, if you only see the context, you'll see the answer. And if you don't see the answer, ask someone who knows a little bit more than you about Tanakh. What's the next pasuk? Lulei. If I'd end the class now, so you'd walk away with the verse says, God says, I'll banish the Jewish people from the memory of the earth. But what does the next pasuk say? Lulei. If not for that, this is what I would do. Lulei. If not for that, ka soyev aguf. The anger of the enemy that's packed against them and ready to destroy them, and if I give them the capacity to advance, they'll wipe them out completely. Pen yinakeru tzareimo, lest their enemies will say, oh, we're the greatest power, we destroyed God's people. Pen yomeru yadenu rama, lest they say, our hand has overpowered God, v'lo Hashem pa'al kozot. God isn't the one that punished the Jewish people, we did. Ki goy ovadei tzot hema, because that nation, they don't understand. Ven beim tzvuna, if they'd only think about it, luchachmu, if they'd only be smart, yaskilu zot, they'd understand, yavinu lachritam, they'd understand where it's all headed. And here there's a machlokas among Chazal in this section where he's chastising them, how foolish they are. Who's he talking about? Is he talking about the nation that's punishing the Jewish people? Or is he talking about the Jewish people themselves? Why couldn't they figure this out? How is it that one chases 1,000, two chase 10,000? If not because their rock sold them, and God gave them over. Because our strength is not like their strength. So how come our enemies are judging us? Must be that God chose it should be that way. Why did God choose to give us into the hands of the enemy? Because their fruits were growing like in Sodom and Amorah. They were leading immoral lives. All their fruits had the bitterness because it had the bitterness of immorality. God says, but you know what? Here's the secret that's with me. Li nakam b'shilem, I will take revenge. And then Hashem continues, pasuk lamedvav ki adin Hashem amov alav adav itnecham. Hashem will judge back and take back his nations. He will have compassion over his servants again. Ki reki az latiad, because Hashem will see that we reach the point where we have nothing to hope for. They're on the verge of annihilation. Hashem will see that the nations have really given it to them. It's almost over, and Hashem will say, "Ve'efes atzuv azuv." There's almost no one left to save. Hashem says, "Okay." Ve'amar Elohim otzu chasayu bo, and Hashem will say, "Where's their God? Where's the rock they were relying on? How could it be my people are almost wiped out?" Hashem says, "Where's the God they believed in?" They said, "It's our peace treaty that'll save us." They said, "It's the treaty with this nation, that nation." So God says, you're almost annihilated. Where are all the people you believed in? Where's the God? Where's what you believed in? The sacrifices you brought. You were eating all the sacrifices you brought to the foreign deities, the wine you libated. Why don't they come and help you now? So see here, I'm the one that's running the show. That seems to be the bottom line. Hashem says, at the end of all this exile, see here, I'm the one that's running the show. There's no other force in the world but me. I will make people die, I'll make them live. If I've hurt you, I will heal you. No one can save from me. We'll skip forward. We're basically out of time, right? No, we have 2 minutes. The conclusion is, Hashem says, I will pay back the enemies. That's the the last psukim of the song. And Haninu Goyim Amo, the nations will praise his nation. Kidam Avadav Yikum. Hashem will take revenge of the blood of his servants that was spilled. V'nakam Yashiv Litzarav. He will give revenge to his enemies. V'chiper Admato Amo. And he will atone for his nation and for his people. V'chiper Admato Amo. And his land will atone for his nation. Two meanings in the Pasuk. And that's why Chazal say, the land of Israel has a capacity of giving kaparata am Yisrael. The mere fact that we're here, the mere fact that a person gets buried here. Moshe comes to tell the Jewish people, he and Hoshea, he's no longer Moshe's servant. When he was Moshe's servant, Moshe changed his name to Yehoshua. It was a sign of ownership. Just like Paro changed Yosef's name to Tzochnas Paneach. And Nebuchadnezzar changed Daniel's name to Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, no, to Belshazzar. Nebuchadnezzar changed Daniel's name to Belshazzar, so too Moshe changed Hoshea's name to Yoshua. But now Yoshua is no longer Moshe's servant. This is the day when Yoshua is taking over. So Yoshua went back to his old name. Moshe and Hoshea come to speak to the Jewish people. They teach them this song, and Moshe says, take heart. This is one of the ways that you can ensure that your children will maintain the Torah. They'll have this warning, the song. Sima b'fihim, God had told Moshe, place it in their mouths. From here we derive that we should make the Torah and our learning into signs, into songs, make acronyms, make tricks in order to be able to remember your Torah. That's why Hashem gave this message in song form. And Hashem tells Moshe, now it's time to die. It's time to see the land of Israel, come up to Mount Nebo, and it's time for you to pass away, just like Aaron, your brother, passed away. And that leads us into next week's Parsha, the Parsha we will read on Sukkot, Vezot Avracha, the last blessing of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe's ascent to heaven. So Bezrat Hashem, everyone's invited on Hoshana Rabbah. We will Bezrat Hashem have learning in my Sukkah. Stay posted, send me an email. Shailat7 or MachonMeir1@gmail.com, or simply our home phone number 653-6447@gmail.com. You could call, you could send an email. Stay posted. Usually, as Hashem, everything goes well. We'll have learning. We usually learn through the night with pizza and singing. So stay in touch.